Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. I'm John Norman and alongside Jared Kimber bring you immediate reaction to the action after every day of the current series between England and Pakistan. On today's show you will hear about Jared Kimber's part in Shan Massoud's revival at top scoring with 156. Masterful at times, a bit lucky on day one, but brilliant from him. We'll talk about the variety within Pakistan's bowling attack and talk about Ollie Pope as well. Plenty to talk about after a fascinating day at Old Trafford. You're listening to Following On. Thanks for listening to the show. You will by now know, of course, that Pakistan lead after 2 days of this test match. They finished with 326, Shan Massoud 156, Babar Azam 69, Shadab Khan 45, 3 wickets apiece from Broad and Archer. Archer hardly bowled in the afternoon session. That's something we'll talk about. When England came out to bat, up against it really, Burns and Sibley, both LBW inside the opening few overs. And Mohammed Abbas with the ball of the series, I'm claiming that one now, to dismiss Ben Stokes, bowled for a duck. Joe Root out on the cut for 14. At that point, it looked like England might have not avoided the follow-on target. But Ollie Pope and Jos Buttler taking advantage of the bad balls when they came, rotating the strike well. Ollie Pope, 46, not out and showing signs of quality as he has done pretty much since he started playing for Surrey and England. Plenty to discuss today, so let's get on with it.
Story of the day.
Jared, well, what a day's play. Let's start with story of the day. And for me, it was England throwing away what was a pretty good position. At lunch, they'd taken 3 wickets in the morning session. Pakistan didn't seem to be going anywhere. And then it all changed. I've seen England throw away good positions with the bat, but I can't quite remember seeing them throw away such a good position with the ball. Not in Test cricket, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, Shadab Khan made runs, and I think perhaps they relaxed a little bit because he didn't look like he should have made runs. He wasn't always sure how he was making runs. He didn't look like a Test number seven. But I think pulling himself together, I think it kind of put England off a little bit. I think by that point, they thought they'd done the work. And I wouldn't say they gave up on Shan Massoud, but they did some very interesting things with Shan Massoud. Like, for instance, he was all at sea against Don Bess yesterday. And they didn't show him any Don Bess in the morning. Once you got those other quick wickets, you still had one good quick bowler to attack with. Shan didn't seem to have any problems with the seam bowling. So why not bring on a spinner and see if he's still having problems there? And it just got away from them really quickly. I mean, you know, twice I think we've seen them in the afternoons, just had terrible afternoon sessions.
It was bizarre. Let's talk about Joe Root's captaincy, because as you mentioned, Don Bess wasn't brought on to bowl against Shan Massoud, even though he looked relatively comfortable against Stuart Broad, of all the bowlers, actually. I can kind of understand it in one regard. Pakistan were going nowhere. You know, 139 for two overnight. They only scored 48 runs in an entire session of play, 26 overs. But that all changed after the break. You know, Joe Root brought himself on. There were 6 overs until the new ball. You've got 4 new ball bowlers. I can understand why he gave Don Bess a few overs. That's what we're kind of saying. But you didn't need to, at that point, rush through those 6 overs. And it gave Pakistan, a few cheap runs. And Shadab Khan, I thought, you're right, he doesn't look like a number seven. But what he did is he showed intent. And Pakistan hadn't showed any intent in that first 2 hours, apart from when Shadab Khan came in. And then suddenly, a partnership for the sixth wicket of about 20 was suddenly around 40-odd when the new ball was taken. And the emphasis, or the impetus rather, just seemed to swing back towards Pakistan. Few cheap runs or few quick runs from the new ball. We've seen that happen all, you know, many times. Suddenly they're 240 for five, and the whole complexity or the whole complexion of the match completely changed in about half an hour.
Yeah, and none of this was helped by the fact that England didn't bowl anywhere near as good with the new ball as they should have. I mean, you know, sometimes we can overcomplicate all these things. They were in charge of Pakistan in many different ways. They would have still thought that they would have thought that we'll get to this new ball as quickly as possible. We've had a couple of minutes where we're not on top of our game, and we'll nip out Shadab Khan quite quickly and then run through the tail. And they would have, but they didn't nip through him. And so it caused more problems. And also, Shah Masood, it almost seemed like he was waiting for the new ball as far as, you know, waiting for the pace to come back onto the ball and a little bit of a harder ball. He likes the short balls and all these sorts of things. Suddenly the ball coming onto the bat woke him up as well. So it was quite interesting.
The other thing is this, okay, Joe Root didn't throw Don Best the ball when it was old. But then despite having four new ball bowlers, he threw the ball to him when it was new. Don Best took the ball after nine overs of the second new ball. Jofra Archer didn't have a go with the second new ball until about five overs before tee, and then immediately took two wickets and two balls. I mean, they're the kind of decisions that you're criticised for when they don't pay off, and they didn't pay off today.
Do you know what? Most of the time when we talk about captains, we talk about great bowling changes or terrible bowling changes. And realistically, in a four-man attack, most bowling changes are made because someone is tired. Or someone bowled earlier, or someone bowled a big spell. And we see them as either tactical genius or idiocy, but most of the time it has nothing to do with either. In a five-man attack, that is not the case. You literally have the ability to have your bowlers fresher and to use them much more tactically. I mean, that's one of the brilliant parts of a five-man attack. So misusing them the way that he seemed to today is an error. And look, it's cost them.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, of course, when England came into bat, it was a completely different story, wasn't it? As you've often said, variety is the spice of life, and there's certainly variety within that bowling attack. And it does whet the appetite, doesn't it? When you look at when I was a kid, and this, you don't really get this so much in cricket now because it's so much easier to consume the sport overseas. But at the start of an English summer, you must have been exactly the same in Australia. So you know, it's on terrestrial TV and you sit there watching TV and the pictures would come up. It would be the first day of the India series or the New Zealand series or whoever series. And 11 faces would appear on the TV screen and you'd recognise maybe, or you would have heard of maybe three or four of them. You'd know a couple by sight, but there would be five or six players that you just had no clue who they were. Come to the end of the season, of course, and they're all familiar to you because you've watched them day in, day out. There is a little bit about this Pakistan side because a lot of these players don't get the exposure that the IPL gives a lot of other cricketers because, of course, they're not one of the, well, not seen as one of the big two or three sides. You just, when they start bowling, Mohammad Abbas, okay, we saw him 4 years ago, but I remember when he bowled in that first spell, you know, Geoffrey Boycott had never seen him before and he dismissed him out of hand. And Mohammad Abbas gets man of the match at that Lord's performance. And we all know him so well now. But to see someone like Nassim Shah for the first time in this country, he's only played a handful of tests, Shaheen Afridi as well. It just reminds me a little bit about what it was like being a kid at the start of a summer. And we are going to know a lot more about these players come the end of this series. And so are the English batsmen.
Well, Nassim Shah was the one for me. I mean, the commentators on Sky were, you know, some of them seem to have not seen anything of him before. And they were really talking him up incredibly in a way that you don't see as much in modern cricket anymore. It was like, how fast is he going to bowl and how exciting is he going to be? And yeah, it was interesting. I think the actual story of the day, though, is Shah Masood. Mm.
He is the story of the day. He'll be the moment of the day as well. So why don't we get on with that?
Moment of the day.
There were plenty of moments of the day today. Don Bess, as I mentioned, being thrown the new ball, nine overs old when Jofra Archer hadn't had a bowl. Chris Wokes being asked to bounce out Shan Masood and Jofra Archer's fielding at long leg. Joe Root's wicket late in the day as well. That delivery from Mohammed Abbas to dismiss Ben Stokes. But moment of the day, Shan Masood reaching 100. And I saw your tweet about the clapping that occurs as a player makes his way from the field. And it reminded you of club cricket. But it was really heartening to hear the roars of delight and support from the dressing room when Masood reached three figures. And there's just shades, isn't there, that this side is very similar to the one that Misbah-ul Haque captained and did the press-ups in front of the Lord's balcony 4 years ago.
No, definitely. It's I think a lot of people are looking ahead as well and thinking, what can they build here? And Shan is the sort of player that they can build around. You know, there's actually a few other openers that they can slot in with him, but the middle order has always been their strength and seems to be again. But if you can find an opening batsman like him, it's huge. And, you know, they talked about quite a lot on Sky today about how bad he did in England and when he was dropped. You've got to remember that I think he was dropped somewhere around 8 or 9 times from Test match cricket. He would come in, he would go out, he would be told that, you know, he'd be batting here and then he wouldn't bat there. Someone would get injured, he'd come in, he'd struggle again. He played all around the world against lots of different bowling attacks and he failed against all of them. And he disappeared. And no, I don't think anyone, perhaps who hadn't seen him in domestic cricket in Pakistan, thought he would ever come back. He was in a complete black hole. And we see this a lot. Talented players come in, they don't take their opportunities and they disappear. And he did something that I don't think I've seen another player do. And he did it for a bunch of different reasons. I think one, he's the sort of person who is constantly trying to self-improve. Also, I don't think you can discount the fact that he comes from a family of incredible wealth. His family own a flat around the corner from St. John's Wood. And he had the ability to literally contact, I don't even know how many experts, but nutritionists, trainers, coaches, analysts like me, general managers. He built up every facet of his game. He wasn't in the PSL a couple of years ago, and now he's a major sort of player for the Multan Sultans. He's in every way, he built up his game. So he had Gary Palmer, Alistair Cook's coach, help him. When he talked to me, he literally said, tear me apart. Tell me exactly why you think I wasn't making runs in Test cricket. And let's start there. And we went through it, you know, sort of piece by piece. And once he did that, he said, and that was fine. And he took what he needed from that conversation. And then he went to another analyst. And then he went to another coach. And you know, there's a great, if you want it, I think it's a 70-minute clip on YouTube of just him in the nets with a Western Australian coach facing throwdowns. And I've seen it. Of course, I've seen it all the way from beginning to end. But it does show you the sorts of levels that he went to that cricketers just don't go to. Cricketers don't like admitting that everything that got them to that top level was wrong. And that's essentially what he did. I think there's a line from, I think it might be in the West Wing, where they're talking about football team. And they always say the hardest thing in football is when you get to halftime in the Super Bowl game and everything you have done to get you to halftime in the Super Bowl game is no longer working and you have to change it. Most cricketers just don't. They just go, no, I trust myself. Whereas Sharm went the complete other way and he went, clearly, there's a reason why I'm not being successful in Test cricket. Let's have a look at this. And he spoke to everyone in world cricket he could. And to be fair to him, since he's come back, he's made runs in South Africa. He played really well against Australia. He made back-to-back hundreds in Pakistan. And, you know, add another 100 on here. 300s in quick fire. It's incredible.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Shot of the day.
So much for the nervous 90s. Shan Masood went on 88, steered Stuart Broad with a new ball twice to the third man boundary, and he went from 88 to 96, then scampered two, and before you knew it, it's reached 100. So that was memorable in itself for the occasion. That six he smashed over long off to Don Best was just extraordinary. That's the kind of shot that, as a seven-year-old, I used to practice in the mirror. But you know what? I just thought Shadab Khan's intent right from the start was... No, I know it wasn't a shot, but it was the way that he was getting bat on ball and he was playing tip and run, rotating the strike. I know it's not a specific shot, but for me, that changed the whole emphasis of the Pakistan innings. So I'm going to mention that in my shot of the day.
Yeah, I mean, it's not shot of the day, so you're wrong to bring it up here. but that moment where they started dropping the ball and just taking off, especially because... To be fair, you know, I think I made the joke on Twitter that Shan Masood had talked to every consultant in cricket except for a running between wickets consultant, because a lot of his running between wickets in this innings was not okay. The amount of times he just says yes and he's hit the ball straight to a fielder is phenomenal. We always had this theory that when we played club cricket, that the only people who do that are tail enders who shouldn't be batting in the top of the order and kids who, when they play a good shot, they say yes almost at the good shot. Shan seems to do that. Anyway, my shot of the day, though, for everything we just said, is Ollie Pope straight drive off Nassim Shah. It's Ollie Pope. Almost every shot he plays is shot. I mean, we got him and Babar should just win this 100 times each.
Ball of the day.
Well, there's only one contender for ball of the day. As soon as I saw it, I went on TalkSport and said, that is the ball of the series. You immediately WhatsApped me, not that you're listening to TalkSport, and said ball of the day. Mohammed Abbas bowling to Ben Stokes, that dismissal, I could watch it again and again.
Well, let me take you through it a little bit as well from a technical standpoint. So no one's ever done, as far as I know, a deep dive on the wobble seam balls. But you do hear it a lot. It's one of those phrases that has come into cricket and it clearly exists. And it's the ability to keep the seam wobbling, but keep it close enough to the middle on its axis that it will still do something. So there's a wobble seam, which is what you or I would bowl, where our wrist just falls apart and the ball just goes in any direction. That's not what Jimmy Anderson or Stuart Clarke, Mohammad Asif, and Mohammed Abbas are doing. What Mohammed Abbas is doing is specifically saying to the batsman, I am going to make sure this ball hits the seam, but I'm going to make sure it hits the seam and neither of us know what it is going to do. The skill to be able to do that is, I mean, it's otherworldly. And that particular delivery was unplayable. You know, we talked a lot about right-arm bowlers coming around the wicket to left-handers. That's an off-spinner at pace when you don't even know he's going to bowl an off-spinner. You know, the ability to do that is just incredible. And, it was a magical moment. I just want to talk about one other ball of the day, which won't be remembered or talked about anywhere near as much, but it really caught my attention. Nassim Shah, I mean, Ian Warne and Wasim Akram have been talking him up nonstop. You know, I think maybe Shane Warne was on earlier. Shane Warne obviously saw him bowl in Australia. He'd been talking him up as well. He then comes into bowl, and his first ball is back of the length, wide about outside off stump. And it is in no way a special delivery. Like, it's too wide, probably too short. But it hits the pitch and just jags sideways in a way that makes anyone who's ever watched cricket go, what the hell has just happened? And Ollie Pope's face of, how am I supposed to play that if he gets it online? Now, it may have just hit a crack. It may have just been, you know, something silly. But the reason I bring it up is there's a great story from Aussie Rules Football years ago when a centre-half back was playing on a centre-half forward and they were going out to play and I think they were around 19 or 20 and the coach literally says to the centre-half back, you better have a good game today. because you're going to be playing against this guy for the next 10 years. Right? And all I could think is Nassim Shah is possibly going to be bowling to Ollie Boat for the next 10 years. What a way to start with this ball just going ping sideways. And Ollie Pope's face was just so classical of, this is not okay. What is this delivery?
Lol of the day.
I laughed after confidently predicting Babrazan would reach 100 on day two. He was out without adding to his overnight score in the first over of play. That was quite funny, in a laugh at myself kind of way. But apart from that, I can't think of too many lols.
No, I mean, it's not a lol, but Josh Butler and his wicketkeeping is starting to become a thing, isn't it? It's funny.
Oh, no, there's the lol. You've just reminded me. So Josh Butler, you're about to say about, because he missed another catch behind the wicket, didn't he? Don Bess again. Did you see his attempted run out?
Oh, yes, that is where I was going. You're right. because at that point, you're just like, okay, so let's just go back. I mean, we talked about it a bit yesterday. So at the start of this series, Crickviz put up a tweet saying, Josh Butler hasn't missed a chance since he became wicketkeeper. And I think that surprised a lot of us who follow wicketkeeping closely, because he's not a great wicketkeeper. I mean, he was England's third choice wicketkeeper when he was in the side as a batsman. So you know he's not a great wicketkeeper. He then obviously misses Blackwood and they lose that match. Come forward to this test and he misses Shaan Masood twice, which now looks like a fairly major error, I think, looking back on it. He then drops Yasir Shah. Now, all three, and if you go to Blackwood as well, all four of those takes he should have taken. So he's now starting to struggle. And then he gets that point where it's just getting to Shane Dowrich levels. When he picks up the ball and he's got a run-out opportunity and all he has to do is get the ball somewhere near Stuart Broad at the other end. And Stuart Broad has quite an impressive wingspan as well, John, doesn't he? He's quite a long man. So, you know, there are certain people with short wingspans that would be a tough throw to. You think he'd be able to make the two-meter wingspan of Stuart Broad at the other end. And he misses Stuart Broad with a throw by such a comical point that Stuart Broad doesn't even get angry. And earlier in the day, do you remember how angry Stuart Broad was at Jofra Archer for not going for a catch at fine leg, which I think Archer should have gone for, but I think Broad probably overreacted a little bit. But the fact that Broad just went, wow, it's just Josh Butler and it's today and it's a Shane Dowrich kind of day.
Anodyne press conference moment of the day.
Well, let's hear if Jofra Archer talks about that catch that wasn't at long leg, or the fact that he was held back till the end of the afternoon session in today's Anodyne press conference moment of the day.
Yeah, I think we just need to get as close to a pass there towards him. Obviously, the wicket's getting a bit easier to bat on, and I'm pretty sure until both of them are top of the net, can go on and score big. Well, no doubt they can go on and score big.
What is going to happen tomorrow?
Okay, Jared, well, what did you predict for day two yesterday? I can't remember.
I said that I didn't think Shaan and Bubba would both go on, but I thought one of them would go on and they might be able to put something together with the tail. But I expected more it to be half centuries coming through. I didn't expect one batsman. I think I said 270. I think you said 280 or 290, didn't you? So they went a bit beyond that. But I think we got the basic narrative correct there.
Hey, I tipped Babrazam to score a century and he added none. I went for 280, 290 and a little off, 326. But I did predict 13 wickets today and fell one short.
Yeah, that's
just
good.
The 12.
I forgot about that. Yeah, that wasn't
that's
bad.
Not bad. Not bad. So, what's going to happen on day three?
I mean, weirdly enough, this is going to sound odd being that England have just looked terrible. I think the pitch flattened out. I was watching Shaheen bat on it, and I know he can't bat. They have, you know, a couple of number 11s there, and I was thinking, well, I think this pitch is flattened out. If Pakistan don't get a lot out of the early swinging ball, I think they could be in for a bit of trouble. The fact that they have got those early wickets, though, I mean, Butler looked all at sea at times out there. I think that we should expect a little bit of seam movement early on, and Abbas is going to be all over Butler. Who knows with Pope? If you can get to Butler through Butler now, I think you can chip them away. And I think Pakistan will be disappointed if they can't bowl England out for 250 from here. But as I said, I do think that pitch has flattened out. So it could be a really interesting one. But my guess is that one way or another, they get Butler quite early on. and then they should be able to, you know, side their way through that middle order, or the tail, really, which starts at Wokes the way he's been batting of recent times.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be Pope at one end, possibly Butler, and it's just going to be a clatter of wickets at the other end. I think it'll be fast scoring because England they've got Pope and Butler who only ever score fast, really. So I think there'll be runs, but I think there'll be wickets. I think it's going to be a really entertaining day's play. I think England will score around 200, 225. So good lead for Pakistan. But new ball again towards the end of the day. I think it's going to be a bit cloudy again tomorrow. So more wickets, not as many as today. And Pakistan to finish the day on top. But I think you're right, not quite as many in front as they would have liked. It's going to be great cricket, though. There's been so much good cricket and some poor cricket over the last couple of days, but it's certainly kept us entertained. Jared, I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for your time today. And thanks for listening to the Following On podcast. You can listen on Acast, Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Join us after day 3 at Old Trafford in the first test match between England and Pakistan.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.